up in the sky! Look!
It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Matt Spectro through the multiverse!
Thanks for joining us for another exciting episode of Matt Spectro Through the Multiverse. As always, I am your host, Matt Spectro, lifetime comic fan, lifetime animation fan, and you've reached a podcast where we talk superheroes and we talk animation. Thanks for joining us for episode 110. It's another spooky episode as we're celebrating Halloween all month long. I'm going to briefly explain the rules, then we're going to get right into it. Rule number one, like I said, comic books, animation, that's what we talk about. Rule number two, I'm a huge fan of old team-up books, Brave and the Bold, Marvel Team-Up, DC Comics Presents. So every episode, it's a team-up podcast. Me and a special guest talking comics, talking animation. Rule number three, most important, we got to have fun. We're going to bring our guest out, first-time visitor to the multiverse. Not only is he the host of the podcast What's Shaking with Shaner, he's also the winner of the first-ever Matt Spectro anniversary giveaway. Welcome to the multiverse, Shaner.
OMG, Matt. Hey, man. Thanks a lot for having me on the show. Love the show. And a lot of great things I got winning the prizes. It was very much a lot of great stuff. I really appreciate it and looking forward to being on your show. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for participating. I was hoping for a free giveaway. I would get a lot more participation than I did. But I'm glad that a worthy person won the prize.
Well, thanks. I don't normally win anything ever. So it was exciting for me. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for not only joining us for the first time, but joining us part of our month-long Halloween celebration. I'm hoping you're a Halloween fan.
I am. Love a lot of the scary, spooky stuff. I'm not a horror movie guy. Had nightmares really bad when I was a kid, so I stay away from horror movies. But the whole concept of Halloween, absolutely love it. And I love a lot of the different specials TV shows will do specific to just Halloween episodes and trying to be a little spooky, as it were.
So I always ask this for everybody when they come on a Halloween or a Christmas episode. Not necessarily horror, but what would you say is your favorite Halloween-related film, television show, special of all time?
I'm going to go way back. I'm going to go to Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, the Saturday morning cartoon from like 1981 to 1983. They did an episode, a Halloween episode of Count Dracula, and it started out, they were at a Halloween costume party on ESU, and everybody was in costume as Marvel superheroes. One of my favorite episodes.
I did an episode on that Barry cartoon, I think back in 2021, which it's one of the most batshit insane episodes they ever did of Amazing Friends.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I did the very first episode of my show, actually, was on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. Yeah, I grew up loving that. I grew up very rural on a farm in Nebraska. We were living 11 miles from the nearest town. So we were out there, as they say, in the boontoolies. And there were some days when the antenna wasn't working. So we'd have to climb up to the top of the roof and move the antenna so it could come in so we could watch it. And my brother and I were always rushing to get done with our chores on the farm so we could be back at the house in time to watch Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
I have to, not to get sidetracked, but now that we're talking about that, I have never seen this infamous Captain America episode of Amazing Friends that supposedly exists, where they fight the Nazis, that it's been pulled from the rotations. I don't even remember that back in the day. Have you ever seen that?
I did. I watched it recently. Captain America's not in that episode, but the Red Skull and the Nazis are, and they show swastikas in the show. And they have a character, and I'm drawing a blank, but it was a character created just for Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. He was a Native American professor, and he had certain superpowers, and he's the one that kind of gets pulled into it, and they find this secret Nazi cave in South America, I believe. So that kind of goes along with the whole "were they or weren't they in Argentina" kind of concept.
Okay, I've never, where is it, something you have to find on a pirated site? Because I've always wanted to see it, and I've never actually seen
it. I remember seeing it as a kid, so I was disappointed when it wasn't on Disney Plus, that has the entire few seasons. If you go to YouTube, and I think you pay like $1.99, you can find the actual episode on YouTube.
I'll have to look into that. All right, we're talking Halloween, we're talking superheroes, we're talking animation. I threw it over to you. I let you pick what you wanted to talk about. So why don't you share with our audience what you picked and what made you decide to pick this particular cartoon?
Well, we're going to talk about it, and thank you so much. It's The Incredible Hulk, Where Monsters Dwell. Reason I picked it is because I didn't want to pick that Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends episode. I think I probably talk about that too much. So this is another one of my favorite ones. It came out in 2016. Seen it a few times. It really is a good monster. Now, Doctor Strange, as we're going to say, is very much a big part of this, but it has to do with a ton of monsters. So I think it's a great, fun monster mashup from Marvel, because they introduce a lot of different characters and probably some characters most people weren't familiar with. As myself, there was a few in here. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing in Marvel. So, hey, I'm learning. And it has to do with, I think, one of the more creepier villains, and that is Nightmare. So those are the reasons why I picked the episode.
All right, we're going to get into all that. But now, on every episode, we begin our show with guest trivia. Are you ready?
Yes, Matt, I am like lunch meat. I'm always ready.
Now, my guess, it's been up and down. Some get it right, some struggle. Listening to your show, you seem very educated, very, seem to have a lot of knowledge. So I decided to go a little bit harder with my trivia questions for you. I got two. I got one Halloween related and one Hulk related. Which one do you want to go first?
Let's do Halloween related. Why not?
All right. So let's go. Halloween, the holiday here in North America, really started the popularity after the Second World War. But what year was trick-or-treating and Halloween? Well, let me preference that. It's assumed this is the biggest, the first time it became more of a societal norm. What year did Halloween and trick-or-treating really start here in North America?
Well, that's a really good question. I have no idea. I can give you all sorts of weird facts about how it started in Europe and when it came across and what the Halloween is actually based on. But as far as when it started here in the U.S., I'm going to go with a guess of 1955.
You're actually really off. The first recorded, now this is allegedly, because the earliest I could find all my sources in Ontario, Canada, in 1911 is the first time that we have records of trick-or-treating and Halloween becoming like a societal norm.
God bless the Canadians. Thank you.
But it wasn't really, I could see your answer though, because it wasn't until after the Second World War that Halloween started to really pick up steam here in America. And have you ever seen those old Halloween costumes? They're the stuff of nightmares.
Well, it depends on what you refer to as old. I'm 52, so most people, when I talk about things, just assume everything I talk about is old. So, right, everything has a context. I had a guest on my show recently who was in his early to mid-30s, and he kept saying he didn't understand some of our generational references. I'm like, dude, really? You're going to go down that road? That's just wrong.
Well, like, when I say old, I say really old. Like, if you think old, the 70s, those costumes were not scary. They were a plastic mask with a rubber band. All right, so the Hulk question I related to this special. This one might be hard, so I apologize in advance. Written by Roy Thomas, what comic book is the first time Hulk and Doctor Strange actually met?
Oh, that is a hard one.
Written by Roy Thomas and penciled by legend Herb, is it Trimpe or Trimpe? I'm not never sure how to pronounce his last name. Legendary Hulk artist Herb Trimpe. It's spelled T-R-I-M-P-E. and written by Roy Thomas, the first meeting of Hulk and Doctor Strange in that brief period where Doctor Strange was actually wearing a mask.
Oh, wow. So, whoa. I know exactly the period you're talking about. Yeah. I'm not going to get it right at all. I'm not even going to be close. I'm going to say Hulk 186, just because that's a number of sticks in my head. But I know exactly that it was that weird time frame when he was wearing a mask and he looked like a Mexican wrestler, right?
Yes, you are incorrect. It's actually Incredible Hulk issue 126, which predates the Defenders, not by much. I think it was later on that year where, yes, Doctor Strange wore the blue mask, which I hated. I don't know why they ever went with that.
It was crazy. I never understood that. But again, it's like what they did with the Fantastic Four when they updated their costumes and uniforms at one time. And Invisible Woman basically had a big, giant peep window across her boobs. You remember when they did those? That, I'm like, what are you doing? She was fine the way she was. Don't get me wrong. Most of the audience that you're catering to will look at that and go, boobies. But it's not necessary.
And also, the villain Nightcrawler, not to confuse with Kurt Wagner, showed up in that comic book. I believe they changed his name to Darkcrawler because of Nightcrawler's obvious popularity eclipsing this character.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that character, but yeah, huge fan of Nightcrawler from the X-Men. Absolutely.
A lot of people don't remember the classic Defenders lineup, which I was a huge fan of, which I don't think they've ever been able to recapture since that series ended.
Well, I'm trying to remember who it was back then. I know it was Submariner, Hulk, and Doctor Strange, and I know it changed a lot.
Yeah, Silver Surfer was kind of in that original foursome.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The lineup I always remember and associate was Hulk, Hellcat, Valkyrie, Nighthawk, Doctor Strange, and Clea sometimes. That was like the group that the most stuck out in my head from the Defenders lineup.
Oh, well, that's interesting because mine was the ones we just talked about, the first four. When I think of Defenders, that's who I think of. But it's kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy. Those lineups have changed so much that the one that everybody knows from the movies, I don't know how long that comic ran before any of that happened because there was a lot of different people in Guardians of the Galaxy in the comics.
All right. So we're going back to October 21st, 2016, Hulk, Where Monsters Dwell. For anybody who doesn't know, Incredible Hulk was created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Where Monsters Dwell is actually named after a Marvel Comics series that ran back in the 1970 to 1974. It was basically in that era where the comics code had kind of, they pulled the reins back a little bit. They weren't so strict. So Marvel went back to doing some more horror type comics. I don't know if you remember that series. It only ran 38 issues. I only read it in reprints and some back issues. But it wasn't as much the traditional EC comics type ripoff. It was more a combo of sometimes scary stuff, sometimes just aliens, sometimes just big monsters. And issue one, in fact, they had a Cyclops. I think it's like when they wake up a sleeping Cyclops. So that's where the name Where Monsters Dwell come. And actually, when we get to the cartoon itself, a lot of the monster designs, I think, are lifted right from that comic book.
I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, when I first watched it, I was like, wow, where'd they get a lot of this from? And that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so this was released direct to DVD, which Marvel's done. They haven't done as often as DC, but they have done a handful of them. Iron Man, Doctor Strange, Ultimate Avengers, and so forth. Now, this is actually supposedly in the same universe as the Avengers Assemble and Ultimate Spider-Man cartoons as well. I feel like lately, sometimes the cartoons have been too much trying to be the MCU and not as much the comic books a little bit. So it works, but sometimes I don't know if they're borrowing too heavily from the MCU.
Well, I agree. I think sometimes they should just stick to the original premise. There was a Avengers cartoon series I really enjoyed. It was only on for 2 years. I don't know. It wasn't Avengers Assemble. Maybe it was Avengers the Mightiest.
First Mightiest Heroes?
Yeah, and it was only on 2 seasons. And all the characters looked like the characters from the comics. And they retold some of the stories. I thought that was great. But it only lasted 2 seasons. And then they came out with another Avengers cartoon and another Avengers cartoon. And they were very much based on MCU, kind of to your point. I think if they just keep it a little bit closer to the comics and the look of the comics, As being a huge fan, I think that's much more entertaining than just trying to make everything like the MCU, to your point.
Yeah, Earth's Mightiest Heroes is widely regarded by fans as the best Avengers cartoon, which I believe they canceled to do another Avengers that was more like the MCU. All right, so this was and there's also been debates on this. Some people have criticized this and a lot of the other DVDs, saying that their quality isn't as good as the DC direct-to-DVD films. I can see the point, but it's kind of apples and oranges a little bit.
I just get excited when they put something out, right? So I understand a lot of people want to compare the quality of the two. And to your point about some of the other Marvel movies that they had direct-to-DV, that Doctor Strange one that they did, I thought that was great. I enjoyed it. And the Iron Man one they did, I thought those were of pretty good quality. Now, this one, I still think is pretty good. Now, is it the same quality of some of the stuff that's out there? Well, probably not, because, again, it's direct-to-DVD or direct-to-streaming. It's not going to get the same treatment as if it were going to be a huge movie production, right?
No, that is true. Now, this was written by Marty Eisenberg and David McDermott, and it's produced by Marvel Animation, directed by Mitch Schauer, I believe is how you say his name. Maybe it's Schauer. The Hulk is, as a kid, was always my favorite character. Over time, I've evolved where he's my second favorite, where Captain America is my favorite now. So I was always excited. Now, Hulk, he's also a character that's had a lot of different animation. He had the episodes of the 60s cartoon, where you could barely call it animation, where it was like 2D animation. They had the Hulk that went along with Amazing Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. The 90s Hulk cartoon, Hulk Agents of Smash. And I believe he's had a couple of directed DVDs. I believe they did Planet Hulk, and I think they did a Hulk Thor one as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Planet Hulk, that was great. I mean, it is a little bit similar to World War Hulk, the big storyline in the comics. Not exactly the same, but close enough. I got to tell you, I loved the animated one, Planet Hulk. I thought that was awesome. I've watched it hundreds of times.
This is interesting, because it's a Hulk cartoon, but it also has Doctor Strange and the Howling Commandos, not the Nick Fury and his Howling Commandos, which the more updated, which I was, for the most part, pretty unfamiliar with this group even existing, to be honest with you.
I was the same way, because Howling Commandos, again, Nick Fury, we all remember that from the World War II comics, and they've updated them a lot. But I had to go online and look up a few of who these were, because I wasn't familiar with some of the characters. I mean, Jasper Sitwell, I knew. I didn't know he was a zombie.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? Jasper Sitwell. I was like, what the hell is that? I had no idea that happened, because when the year 2000 hit, from my childhood to 2000, I was avid. I was at the comic shop every Wednesday, bagging and boarding. And then I've gone through periods from the 2000s on where I'm reading for a while, and then I'm kind of like completely out of the loop, and then I'll come back, or then I'll... So a lot of this stuff is like completely foreign to me.
Yeah, kind of like you, I reading a lot up through the 90s until I joined the Marine Corps. And then I read a little when I was in, but yeah, spotty for me at times if they're newer characters. That's why I had to look them up. But still, Jasper Sitwell as a zombie, that still makes me smile and laugh. And I don't think the movie explained what he was eating, did they?
There's one scene where we're going to get into later where they kind of explain part of it, but it was more something he found during the episode, which would kind of imply what he was eating all along. I'm not going to go over every character and every voice, but we're going to go over the four main ones. Now, Hulk was voiced by, and I can never say this guy's name, I've done multiple episodes where he comes up, Fred Tatasciore, I think is how you say his name. Done a lot of voice acting. He's done Hulk on a whole bunch of things, on Wolverine in the X-Men cartoon, Ultimate Spider-Man, Agents of Smash, Avengers Assemble. So he's done Hulk on a whole bunch of different cartoons, which I do. I like the consistency, even if it's different things. I like when things don't change every single different cartoon. He's done voice acting for everything from Ben 10 to Family Guy, Robot Chicken, other Marvel characters as well. So the guy's done not only Hulk, but he's done a lot of voice acting as well.
And if I remember right, he was Hulk in those other movies we were talking about, the Ultimate Avengers 1 and 2 they had out. He was the voice of Hulk in those as well.
Probably was. When I looked up, I glossed over and I stopped writing down after like I got five different Hulk credits. Now, Bruce Banner was a Jesse Birch. He's also done Bruce Banner a couple other things, Avengers Assemble. He did voices on the Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon. And most importantly, in Lord of the Rings Battle for Middle-Earth video game, he voiced the most important character in Middle-Earth history, Tom Bombadil.
That right there should be enough to give this guy the credit he deserves, right?
I remember in the early days of the internet where Lord of the Rings came out, the Tom Bombadil discourse. I had no idea. I'd read those books way before the movie. I had no idea he had such a devoted fan following. So we also have Doctor Strange, who was created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. Really, Steve Ditko created that character with minor help from Stan Lee. It's almost to the point where Steve Ditko almost has the sole credit. Even if you look at the old comics, I think they put his name first, which was rare back in the day for any Stan creation. Now, he's voiced by Liam O'Brien. He's done a bunch of different stuff. He's been a... He was Doctor Strange in Avengers Assemble and Ultimate Spidey. So there's a lot of continuity here. He also actually voiced Angel on the short-lived Wolverine and the X-Men cartoon as well.
By the way, I really liked that cartoon. I'm disappointed they didn't give them a second season.
Yeah, I've never seen it, and a recent guest brought it up, said it, and you're the second person in like the last 2 months to bring it up on my show. So I'm going to have to give it a viewing at some point. So as you can tell, Marvel really likes to... They like to use the same voice actors for a lot of stuff.
To your point, I think that really adds to a lot of the continuity. So if you're watching something new, at least the character sounds similar to the character you saw in this or that or something else. I think that's really important. I'm glad they do it because some of the voice actors that have filled in for different characters over the years, you can tell real quickly, like, who is this? That's not the Incredible Hulk I know and love.
No, it can definitely, and some characters, you get so used to a certain guy, it's hard to picture anybody else. I still have a problem with some of the Batman cartoons when I hear someone other than Mark Hamill doing the Joker. That still screws in my head a little bit sometimes.
Well, for me, it's Wolverine. Hearing anybody other than Steve Blum, it's like, well, what the hell is this?
And finally, we have the villain of our cartoon, Nightmare. Created by Steve Ditko and Stan Lee. Now, Matthew Watterson does his voice. Now, this guy, I had a hard time finding anything. He didn't have as many voice credits to his name. He was more of a character actor. He's appeared on a bunch of different TV shows. But as far as voice acting I could find, he was Dragon on the Castlevania cartoon. And he's actually Jason Blood on Etrigan on Batman, the Doom that came to Gotham City. He has done some voice work, but... most of the stuff I found with him was character acting, like showing up on like one episode of a different TV show. And we're going to get into more Nightmare, the character, and his ways depicted on the show as we get into the review of the show, because I wrote a lot of little notes about what I thought watching him on the screen and my thoughts of the comic book character. Now, for the Commandos, looking into this, obviously everybody knows who the Man-Thing is. Obviously, that's not a surprise. But I had never heard of Vampire by Night or Warwolf before this cartoon. Shows you, I guess, how much I'm reading current comics, I guess.
Oh, Werewolf by Night was huge in the 70s.
Yeah, Werewolf by Night, yes, but Vampire by Night and Warwolf.
Well, yeah, Vampire by Night, she is a the niece, I believe, of Werewolf by Night, right?
Yeah, it said here she's the niece of... him. Let me take a look here. I got to find. Yeah, Nina Price. She is the niece to Jack Russell. She first appeared in Amazing Fantasies number 10. Not the original series, but the reboot back in 2005. She was created by a Jeff Parker and a Federica Manfredi. But I had never heard of her or Warwolf before this.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one, because right there with you. Before this show, I'd never heard of Warwolf before or her, so I had to do some digging myself online to figure out while I was watching, I'm like, who the hell are these guys? I do like how they created them, though. I do like this group of people. It just, when you're not used to it, it just feels very odd at first. On what the hell are they doing?
They kind of feel to me like a Creature Commandos, like a C-grade Creature Commandos is what they kind of feel like to me. I hate to bash them, but that's what I feel like when I watch these guys. But on that note, we are going to watch Hulk, Where Monsters Dwell. We're going to talk about it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Saturday in Strange Tales. Dr. Strange helps Bruce Banner confront his biggest nightmare. It's impossible. Hulk. It's time to face your inner monsters.
Join the others in reliving your greatest fear forever.
In Marvel's Hulk, Where Monsters Dwell. Premieres Saturday, 2 p.m. on Disney Channel.
Friday on The Incredible Hulk, Esther Roll guest stars when David Banner battles a gas line in a desperate attempt to save a pregnant woman and her unborn child.
Get ready for the DVD event of the year.
Let's head in.
Unleash the beast. Unleash the excitement. Unleash the power that's too big for one DVD.
My God.
The Hulk 2-Disc Special Edition. Unleash the groundbreaking special effects secrets. And go behind the scenes for a revealing look at the amazing technology that brought the Hulk to life. Just push play and you'll be blown away. Hulk. Buy it on DVD and video today.
Meanwhile, at the Podcast of Justice.
And we are back, and we just watched Hulk, Where Monsters Dwell. And was it just me, or it just, there was like no like real credit sequence or intro music or anything? It just kind of hops right into it.
Yeah, that was a little odd. I was surprised first time I saw it. You're right in the Halloween night. No setup.
They just have like the credits at the bottom. No like real intro, nothing. It was just, yeah, credits, and it's Halloween, and some kids are at Doctor Strange's house, and they're debating that it's haunted. I love, normally in these shows and cartoons, people have great costumes on Halloween episodes, but their costumes were pretty much dog shit. What was it? It was like a pirate and like a football player. I think one was a ghost. It was pretty low rent.
Had a lot of creativity from the kids, but again, they were kids. Maybe their parents didn't help them with the costume.
And I like how there was a Ghost Rider reference in here, where they said how someone heard that they saw a guy in a motorcycle with a flaming head driving away from this building. Doctor Strange shows up in a mystery battle with a monster. What do you think of the... I wasn't super thrilled with the Doctor Strange costume design. What did you think?
I don't remember seeing his costume design in the movie anywhere else before. Threw me off a little bit trying to figure out how it looked, because it seemed weird around his neck and shoulders. It just felt off.
He had the dark blue gloves and matching boots, which that's really stuck out in my head for some reason. I like he's got no gloves, or I like the classic yellow gloves. I just didn't like the dark blue boots and gloves. He says a lot of incantations. I'm not going to save them all, but he really fell in love with the ruby rings of Ragador. That seemed to be like his go-to phrase throughout the episode.
Yeah, he kept trying to bind everything, right? And at some point, you're like, bro, it's not working. Stop, please.
He had to use it with the bubble gum to create a giant bubble and capture the monster. Now, Hulk does appear to save the kids. Hulk's going to fight the monster. I like how there was that reference where he says something about a caveat. And Hulk doesn't know what a caveat is. But this Hulk's been in the Avengers, so he's more of a hero. He's not as much. He's still the two personalities, but he's not as much the monster on the run in this.
You're right, and it was funny when you hear Hulk go, Hulk don't know what caveat means.
Sometimes, I don't know, I'm not always, even though it's the classic version I grew up with, him changing back and forth, sometimes I've grown to like the Banner Hulk all in one and almost feel like I don't know if they should have ever gone back. I mean, maybe in the comics, not so much, because I hate when comics go backwards. But I guess in the movies and animation, it's not the same thing. So I guess I can cut him some slack. Hulk does end up falling asleep after this fight, turns back into Banner. So obviously something's afoul there. And then we get our first glimpse of the Howling Commandos. Even though at that point, they're the Paranormal Containment Union working for S.H.I.E.L.D. So I really would like to, someone's got to fill me in on how this came about of them. Any idea how this group of misfit monsters is now a S.H.I.E.L.D. operative?
Yeah, I don't remember them actually calling the Howling Commandos that much in the movie, but the Paranormal Containment Unit, they said that multiple times throughout.
One of my favorite lines is when Vampire by Night tries to hypnotize the Hulk, and she actually says that my mesmerizing gaze will slow your roll.
Well, at least they're updating some of the dialogue and language, trying to make it a little bit more hip for the youngsters out there.
At one point during the fight, he actually rips Man-Thing's arm off. I don't know. I don't remember Man-Thing being able to do the Swamp Thing bit where he can, like, reform and stuff like that. Is that a recent development? I mean, I was never a huge Man-Thing fan, but I don't remember that back in the day.
See, I don't remember that either, and that was one of the first things that stuck out to me is he's almost like a, to your point, Swamp Thing, but almost in like the DCU, kind of like how they made Groot. You know, they could change size, bigger, smaller, regrow, reappear. I don't remember Man-Thing ever having that ability before.
But I never read the Howling Commandos comic, so that's something that might have been brought up later on. I got to bring, now that we brought it up, Man-Thing, Swamp Thing, where do you stand on that that old debate?
Well, I am a diehard Marvel guy, so I'm going to go with Man-Thing.
See, I always thought Man-Thing had a much cooler design, but Swamp Thing was the better character, in my opinion. So the story revolves around this kid, Benito, who's having nightmares that Doctor Strange opens. And we get our first glimpse of Nightmare. The design of Nightmare, I actually liked a lot in this. He kind of looked like Morpheus from The Sandman, but like an evil version. I actually like it better than the original design. I always thought the original Nightmare was very weaselly and very cowardly and didn't seem all that fearful to me. Like, this version to me, I think, is much more evil, much more threatening. I just think it's a better character design. Maybe not better. I don't want to say anything that Steve Ditko created. But I think this version works. I think it actually works a little bit better.
A little more frightful, right? A little more fear-inducing when you look at it compared to the others. I think the first storyline I remember reading with Nightmare, he looked more like this.
First one I read was I read a reprint of the old Strange Tales run, and he had the all green suit there. And I remember in that around Hulk 300 where Hulk went savage because Nightmare was manipulating him, but he was a lot less Freddy Krueger and a lot more weaselly back in the day. Now, maybe I'm nitpicking, but he's using his thing to turn children into their greatest fears. And Benito's greatest fear is a Minotaur.
Yeah, I'm just letting it all go and let them run with their story. Now, when I was a kid, I had nightmares about Bigfoot. So I get it, but a Minotaur, I got nothing.
I just, a kid in 2016 is afraid of Minotaurs. It just seemed a little strange to me. You find out that the kids are becoming nightmares in the wake world, and Hulk is the key to all of this. That's what we find out from Nightmare as well. I also love how Nightmare is, he does the evil laugh quite a lot in this cartoon as well, which I love a good evil laugh. He really does it a lot.
You got to ham it up, shtick it up. You got to get that out there so everybody can hear it, right? It felt a little two-dimensional at times, but I think that's probably why is the evil laugh.
Doctor Strange, he uses a spell to go into the dreams with Hulk. They go back to Gamma Base in the dreams where, and kind of a neat little twist where Banner is like, I'm not afraid of Hulk. I'm perfectly fine, content with the way we are finally. And you find out it's more Hulk's nightmare than Banner's because Hulk doesn't like Banner. And in fact, calls him a puny loser at one point in the nightmare. Nightmare is going to use him to wipe out Banner. So when he walks the walking world, it'll just be Hulk and he won't be holding back anymore. I do like in the, well, we're switching back from the real world to the Howling Commandos and the Nightmare. I love the chase scene on the motorcycle where Jasper loses his hand and one of his legs get flown off in the fight.
Yeah, they did really up the creep factor a bit with Jasper Sitwell, the zombie. There were many times when his leg was hopping around or he had to go grab it or his hand or something fell off and he had to reattach it.
Doctor Strange had said how the dreamer's in control. So we get to see the Hulk smashing armor, which Banner gets into, which is obviously an awesome set of armor that he uses.
And the Hulk thought it was actually Tony Stark at first until Banner pulls up the helmet to let him know, no, it's me, bro. Let's do this.
And we find out that Nightmare is using the kids' nightmares to fuel the dimension, which I forgot to mention earlier, that the gateway between the waking world and the dream dimension are the weakest on All Hallows' Eve. So he's using that, and he's going to use Hulk to smash through to get there. He's it's going to give access to terrified souls, as Nightmare says, which causes the kids to become their nightmares and monsters. And in the waking world, they're unleashed on New York. So they have to fight the Howling Commandos. And there's little fights individually. Man-Thing fights a monster, War World. Great bit where Jasper in a restaurant is fighting a monster. And there's also a Halloween party that gets interrupted. And I think it was Vampire by Night that went there. It was just me, or it seemed like the lamest Halloween party. It seemed like there was nobody there in a Halloween party in New York City.
Yeah, and they didn't all seem to be that much in costume either, if I remember correctly.
Not at all. At one point, though, he did this great bit where it was almost straight out of the Thing movie where his arms get detached and they're walking on their own. He's using them to fight the monster. That's when he takes a bite of the Thing on the table. This is what we referenced earlier. And you find out that he has to look in the menu, but he's eating calves' brains. So pretty implication that he's, without coming out and saying it, that the zombie eats flesh, not necessarily humans, because he eats the calves' brains, or maybe just brains in general, who knows. Now, one of the best bits I thought is when Hulk showed up and told Nightmare that he had smashed Banner, and he needs Hulk to get through the portal, and Hulk says he's going to bust through it, and in the most pompous, pretentious way possible, Nightmare says that he's not going to bust through it, he's going to strive through it triumphantly. I love a good, pompous, pretentious bad guy.
Oh, who doesn't? Because Hulk is just basically standing there banging on it, and it's not going anywhere at first, right?
No, he's just kind of pounding, but nothing's really happening. But then you find it was all a trap. They were working together, and he says, Banner smash! He shows up in the armor, and they attack Nightmare. Find out that the kids can't escape through the portal. They have to go back to their physical bodies, which you discover that they have to face their fears to do it. Benito and the other first two kids do it, but the one girl cannot do it. She's too scared. And she actually turns into her monster. Big fight with Nightmare. Banner uses the Hulk smashing armor, blasts him, where it looks like they've defeated Nightmare and all is well. But because Benito had helped him, he ends up being stuck in the Minotaur form in the waking world.
And then, of course, the Hulk does offer to help him readjust to being now a monster in the world, right? At least the Hulk is there trying to say, hey, bro, I got your back, man. It won't be so bad, even though you're an ancient mythology, mythological beast that eats human flesh. It's okay. We'll work through this.
And you're still a child who has to go through life as a giant Minotaur. But you find out it was all a trick. Nightmare, as a distraction, snuck his way into the waking world, and he's there. And he's going to infiltrate all the people that are sleeping through their nightmares. Now, this is the only part I didn't really care for. When he does that, Nightmare turned into this giant, like, monstrous version of himself that looked kind of goofy to me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit too much. I don't know if you saw Wreck-It Ralph when Turbo turns into that like hideous monster with a weird face. That's what it reminds me of.
So it was a little goofy. I understand why they did it. Big fight scene. I liked the part when Hulk actually grabbed Nightmare's hand. And he like bent his fingers back as he was like the size of his hand. That was a classic Hulk bit. They're not working, but they finally figure out that they have to work as a team. They've been doing too many individual efforts. So if the Howling Commandos fight as a team, they're going to be able to defeat Nightmare. Because he's pretty much unbeatable. He swats away Warwolf. He does the gaze on Vampire by Night. Pretty much just wiping the floor with all of them. Eventually, as a team, they beat him. Strange uses a spell that shrinks him. But he tries to appeal to Hulk one more time that if he gets rid of Banner, he can help him and defeat everybody in the waking world. Which, you got a rare moment where Hulk actually willingly turns back into Banner. And Banner punches him and says, never underestimate puny. And then pops Nightmare right with a right cross.
And that was a good follow-up from Banner because, as you pointed out, the Incredible Hulk in the dream world, right, in the nightmare world, referred to Banner as being puny and weak and a bit of a loser. So I like the way that kind of came back around full circle.
Yeah, and every time Nightmare in the whole episode tried to convince Hulk, he kept calling him puny Banner. So when everything, the dust is settled, they've defeated Nightmare, sent him back to the world. They make reference to, well, at least a year, because next Halloween, the dimensions are going to be crossed again. They offer to take in Benito because he's stuck as the Minotaur. And maybe it's just weird to me, but this is still a child. Like, what are they going to do? Like, not tell his parents that he's a giant Minotaur now and he's hanging out as a member of the Howling Commandos?
I think they were trying to set it up for maybe a separate run for the Howling Commandos, and we have a new member of the crew to give him an element for some storylines or some plot development.
And there is a good moment where Hulk gives a speech about how he knows how he feels and how for years he thought he was a monster. But you get to be yourself and choose who you are and do the right thing. So, yeah, Hulk, good to see Hulk. You know, he's growing as a character. He's not the same mindless monster as he used to be. And they get another joke about how the name Paranormal Containment Unit stinks. And then in classic superhero form, Hulk says, hey, you should call yourself the Howling Commando. He even says, like, you know, like Nick Fury's old group, you know, but you're, because of who you are, you get it? I don't know about you, but it's always funnier when someone has to explain the joke.
Especially when it comes from the Hulk. That even makes it better, right?
Even when they comment on it, they're like, he's like, hey, I like the name. Anybody got a problem with that? Which is weird, because the whole time War Wolf has been super confrontational with Hulk, doesn't like him, trying to get into it, but suddenly he's like, yeah, no problem. We like that name.
I wasn't a big fan of how they represented that character, War Wolf. I mean, I was not aware of him as a character before this, but it seemed like he was just trying to be the muscle of that team and not actually think, just, I'm going to blow shit up and I'm going to attack everybody, and it felt weird. And to what you just said, how then he switches toward the end about, oh no, hey bro, we're cool. Yeah,
like, he's been like confrontational the whole time. Then suddenly he's the one who says, I got no problem with that. And then, we get a final scene of, Hulk's at Monsters Anonymous, I guess you would call it. He says, my name is Hulk, and I'm a monster. And they all do the, hi, Hulk. He says how he doesn't like public speaking. We end with the line of Dr. Strange says, to make it easy, say, picture them all in their underwear. Which Hulk goes, ugh, that's even scarier.
That reminded me again, another reference from Wreck-It Ralph, how he was a part of the Villains Anonymous in the movie, or Bad Guys Anonymous, I think.
Bad Anon or something like that.
Yeah, so yeah, very similar to what they did in Wreck-It Ralph, yeah.
And I don't know about you, I was expecting they were going to do some last-minute bit where with Nightmare in the dream world or something where, you know, leaving a kind of cliffhanger, but no, they went right to the credits after that joke about picturing the Howling Commandos in their underwear. there you have it. A little bit of a glossed over, but a rundown of Hulk, Where Monsters Dwell. Definitely, before we get into an official review, it definitely fired on all cylinders as far as the Halloween aspect of the cartoon.
I agree. Again, I think it was a fun Halloween mashup with the monsters, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, it happened on Halloween. There was a lot of monster-related stuff, nightmares, so it all falls into the category. You could argue that there wasn't a lot of necessarily Halloween directly related stuff, but I think it definitely falls under the Halloween category. But we're going to go to the spectrometer. Anyone new to our show, spectrometer is where we rank what we saw. Zero spectros are garbage. Four spectros being really just doesn't get any better. Shayna, what do you think? What kind of review are you going to give overall Hulk, Where Monsters Dwell?
I think overall this is a lot of campy Halloween fun, right? It's a fun movie. It does introduce some new characters. It does show Doctor Strange and the Hulk interplay. So I enjoyed it. Is it going to be, do I think it's garbage? No. Do I think it's one of the best things Marvel's produced? No, not even close. I would say this is right in the middle for me. Would I watch it again? Yes. Is it something I'm going to tell everybody, oh my God, you got to check this out? Probably not. But for what it was, a direct-to-DV or direct-to-streaming movie about Hulk and monsters, I liked it.
I'm going to go about it. Not quite a three, maybe like a 2.75. I enjoyed it for the most part. I liked the Halloween aspect. I liked the monsters. And I liked Nightmare a lot. I actually liked the way they did him. So it was in the category of it's pretty good, enjoyable. I'd probably watch it again, but it's not something I'd go raving from the rooftops that everybody else has to see. My biggest takeaway is I honestly think looking at this Nightmare, that should be a character they should, if they're not going to use Dormammu in Doctor Strange 3, then I think Nightmare should be the villain they could definitely use. They could definitely make that work and do something completely different than most of the typical MCU movies.
Did you ever read the American Dream with Captain America storyline that had to do with Nightmare?
Yeah, it was the Mark Wade Ron Garney run, right? If I remember correctly.
That I really enjoyed because it was people who were basically being brainwashed and becoming extremely violent that were very American Dream, very patriotic, good people, good things. And they were becoming violent and killing people and doing all sorts of horrible things. I like that twist. I think if you could pull that version of Nightmare into an MCU, that would be fun because it would be, what the hell's going on? Why did this famous baseball player lose his mind and start killing people with a baseball bat at the stadium, right? I think that would be an interesting version of Nightmare to see, the whole American Dream Nightmare.
Yeah, I think that would be good. And they have to resist the temptation to make him Freddy Krueger-ish in any way, like not killing people in the dreams and no stupid puns, make him actually legit and scary. Something the MCU desperately needs now. Their villains have been sorely lacking in phase, what are they on, phase four, is it? They need better villains. And I think he is a character they could definitely use. And like I said, if they're not going to do Dormammu in Doctor Strange 3, then my pick would be Nightmare.
I think it's hard to come up with a good villain after the whole Thanos run in the MCU, right?
Yeah.
Because they did such a good job of having the smaller villains and then, of course, the big boss villain at the end of Thanos. So I think it's hard for the MCU after that. I love a lot of the movies. I'm a huge Marvel fan. But I think after they got through Infinity War and Endgame, that so many year setup of all the movies, all the characters and everything culminating, I think it's a little flat now. And to your point, there's not a lot of good villains, but I think they burned through it, that they did such a good job building up to that and giving you Endgame that I think they're having a hard time finding their mojo again or getting back on track after that to include some of the villains just aren't as good.
Well, what did you all think out there of a Hulk Where Monsters Dwell? Did you like it better, like it less? Let us know. Go to my social media and let me know what you think. You can find me at Twitter. Follow me while you're there, at Matt Spectro. Facebook, you can find me at Matt Spectro through the multiverse, and follow me while you're there. And give me your thoughts on Hulk, where monsters dwell. Or you can just give me your thoughts on Halloween, Halloween-related comic books, anything like that. Let's keep it festive. Well, we've reached the point of the show where it's the open floor, as I like to call it, where I turn things over to my guests, and it's the free plug time. Plug away, Shane, or the floor is yours. Plug away anything and anything you'd like to plug.
Well, thank you so much again, Matt, for having me on the show. I've listened to many of your episodes. It's a lot of fun. I like the nostalgic aspect of what you do because you're bringing a lot of the cartoons I've seen or grew up watching and loving based on superheroes. So, again, that is great. Love your show. Glad to be a part of it. What's Shaking with Shaner? Really, what we do is we dive into the passion and the madness of the geek, the nerd, and often the absurd. Talk about everything from Saturday morning cartoons to 200-year-old novels. And yes, even have debates on why we don't have the Jetson transport tube thingies. So as you can see, it's very much a serious aspect of the show and of what we do. Got a lot of fun stuff coming up over the next few months. I love being a podcaster and I love being on other people's shows. And thank you again for having me as a guest because you really get to be yourself. It's almost like a release. You get to let all of that stuff you enjoy outside of your normal professional life. And you just get to roll around in it, get that nerdy, geeky stink all over you and just revel in it. So I love it. You can always find my show. We're pretty much on all platforms. What's Shaken with Shaner? There is no G in Shaken. And you can find me on some of the socials. I'm kind of giving up on my Twitter account, but you can find me on Threads at Shaken Shaner. Remember, there is no G in Shaken. Matt, again, can't thank you enough for the opportunity to be on the show. And thanks for letting me pick the Hulk movie. I had a lot of fun with this. This was a great time. Greatly appreciate it.
Well, thanks for being on the show. I hope you'll come out and do another episode soon.
Absolutely.
And to your point about podcasting, what I like is, to me, it just, and this isn't every podcast because podcasts are on so many different topics. For me, it's just, it takes me away from all the hustle and bustle and the nightmares of real life, where it takes me back to a simpler time where I didn't have to worry about all that. So that's kind of like my motivation. A lot of people ask me, why do you talk about cartoons and whatnot? But I'm like, it just takes me to a simpler time in life. And sometimes I think we all just need to go back to a simpler time in life.
Yeah, I often get a lot of crap from people, and sometimes my wife, you're in your 50s and you're watching cartoons. It doesn't matter how old I am. I love that stuff as a kid. And growing up the way I did, you didn't have a lot of access to it. So again, having a show that talks about the cartoons I loved as a kid and grew up listening and being a part of, I think it's awesome.
But anyone out there listening, if I want to thank you all for joining us. If you could subscribe to my podcast, I appreciate it. Give it a 5-star review, share anything, and because it helps get it out there. If you're a comic or animation fan and are interested in being on the show, please hit me up. Usually Twitter's the easiest place to reach me, but you could also hit me up on Facebook as well. Keep on listening, and I hope you all have a happy and safe Halloween. And if you have any suggestions, always hit me up. Again, Jenner, I really appreciate you joining us, and I hope you have a happy Halloween as well.
Thank you, Matt, and happy Halloween to you and all your listeners.
That's going to about do it for this week. Join us again next week. We're going to be celebrating comics, superheroes, animation, and Halloween. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Excelsior!